You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Brooke Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, September 16th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Hold on to your hats, folks. We are getting closer and closer to legalizing marijuana in two more states and the nation's capital. We're getting closer and closer to legalizing medical marijuana in the state of Florida. And when that happens, more than half of the United States population will be covered by medical marijuana laws. It is a good time to be a marijuana reformer and a great time to be here on the Russ Melville Show. Thanks for joining us, because we got a special guest hanging out in studio who helped build this show and make it what it is today. Wiz Calico's in the house. Calico Castile, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing quite well, Russ. Good to see you, my friend. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. I see you sporting the green t-shirt.
As always, they were just recently here in Oregon on tour, and they actually outfit all my clothing these days, so works out just fine.
That works out great. We'll be talking to Calico a little bit later in a Cannabusiness Chronicles segment. We'll find out what's happening with him and what will be ColecoVision.com. We want to hear about that. Also, we're hoping Zane makes it in today. We'll have double the Hawaiian vibe in here. It'll be very, very cool. Also, coming up on the show today, we've got more of our coverage from the International Cannabis Business Conference that took place this last weekend. And first, we'll be doing a Cannabusiness Chronicle with Dave Sieber from Hemp Shield. This is a deck stain product made from hemp oil. He's got a lot of great things to say about it. Also, we will be talking to Mara K. Eaton, the author of The Hypocrites. You've been hearing that ad here on 420 Radio for a while. We'll be talking to the author today in our Reformers Reader. Then, when we get toward the end of the show, time for a radical rant. We've got three new anti-Measure 91 lies from District Attorney Josh Marquis. These are culled from his performance at the Salem City Club debate this last Friday. We brought you live coverage of that on 420 Radio through the new Radical Russ Live channel on Ustream. That's right. The 420 Radio channel will continue to run 24/7, but when I'm out on the road doing one of these live events, you can tune in, use the RB Live button at the top of 420 Radio, and on the RB Live channel, I'll just be bringing you my cell phone view of wherever the hell I'm at. So, hey, it's not always the super quality video, but the audio seems to be really good, and that's what we're all about anyway, isn't it? 420 Radio. Hey, also coming up on the show in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio will take your calls at 971-533-7111. We're going to take a look again at the International Cannabis Business Conference. Noah Stokes from CannaGuard Security. Also, Electric Bob will be calling in with our daily Toker Tune for Electric Tuesday. We'll find out what that is at 20 after the hour. And then we'll wrap up ICBC coverage with Luca Fryer, who is from Slovenia. And he's with a company that is trying to make it in the United States, Patron Dispenser. We'll talk to him about that. And then we'll also have more time to tell you a little bit about what's happening with legalization here in Oregon. We're really excited about Measure 91. The lawn signs are available. The bumper stickers are available. We got ours right here. Getting ready to stick this somewhere behind us. We'll find a good spot for it. But I want to remind you, make sure you're registered to vote. Can we still register to vote, Calico, if we missed that deadline?
I think it goes well into... Actually, yeah, I guess it's probably coming up here in the next couple of weeks. I'll get that looked up, and we'll definitely get to it on the other side of this break.
Yeah, if you didn't get your primary ballot mailed to you here in Oregon in May, then you might have a problem. We want to make sure you're registered, because we can pass this legalization, but only if our people remember to vote. Insert your own marijuana joke there. We're back with the news right after this.
To the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on...
Mike Schwab is a former middle school science and math teacher. Currently, he works with children daily as an after-school program leader.
Currently, kids have easy access to marijuana with little understanding of its impact. We can take better care of our kids through Measure 91 with strict regulations and funding for proven marijuana education and prevention programs to keep kids from using it. Under our current marijuana laws, one mistake can ruin a life. Measure 91 removes unfairly harsh punishment for marijuana offenses and gets more tax money to local police and drug prevention. Vote yes on 91.
Hello.
Hello.
I am John.
I'm Scott.
We're from a cannabis broadcast.
And you are listening to 420radio.org.
Cheers.
Hi, I'm Richard Harris. I'm the former director of addictions and mental health for the state of Oregon. Drug treatment and prevention are woefully underfunded right now. Measure 91 will better fund drug treatment and prevention programs. Marijuana isn't going anywhere. We're not stopping it with the war on drugs. You have to remember that marijuana is a pretty benign drug. It doesn't have the usual dependency features of, say, heroin or alcohol abuse. Now, marijuana feeds drug cartels and fuels violence. We can crack down on that. Take the money from drug cartels and, by the law, spend it on law enforcement, treatment, and education. Criminalizing marijuana is just no way to solve the problem. That's why treatment people like me are supporting Measure 91.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, September 16th, 2014. Six more plaintiffs claim they were given pot chocolate at the Denver County Fair from KDVR.com. Multiple people say they became extremely sick after sampling full melt candy bars handed out by the Live Well vendor at the fair's pot pavilion in early August. One man said immediately that he planned to sue. The six new people were added to the same suit, lawyers said. The fair had a strict no pot policy. At least three alleged victims say the vendor specifically told them there was no marijuana in the candy. It was a big scare for all three of them. They did not enjoy the effects they felt, and doctors say it can be dangerous when you eat something and you don't realize it has marijuana in it. Two men went to the hospital and tested positive for THC. Everyone recovered. Maine doctor who held marijuana clinics in hotels is reprimanded and fined, from the Portland Press-Herald. The state board that licenses medical doctors has reprimanded and fined a physician who held medical marijuana clinics in hotels, failed to keep adequate patient records, and engaged in other unprofessional conduct. The discipline represents the first action taken by the state against a doctor in connection with medical marijuana since it first became legal in Maine in 1999. The board investigation found that Dr. William Ortiz held a medical seminar in a conference room at the University Motor Inn and at the Black Bear Inn in March 2013, when he saw 59 patients over 2 days and charged $200 cash to issue a 3-month medical marijuana certificate. During follow-up visits, Ortiz charged patients $175 for a 1-year certificate, the reprimand said. In a consent agreement, Ortiz agreed to pay a $2,000 fine and reimburse the Board of Licensure in Medicine $1,412 for the costs of the investigation. Of the 59 patients seen, there was no documentation of an examination or a treatment plan for 44 of them, the board said. It also said Ortiz, quote, created a negative impression of his activity, end quote, by seeing patients at unusual times, including 3 in the morning. Legal marijuana, Forest Grove proposes tax on recreational pot sales before November election, from the Oregonian. The Forest Grove, Oregon City Council on Monday will consider preemptively imposing a tax on marijuana-infused products and recreational marijuana. The latter condition depends on the on whether Measure 91, which would legalize recreational marijuana use in Oregon, passes in November. The ordinance would allow the city to impose a tax of 10% in gross sales of such products. If the seller holds a registered medical marijuana card, the city would tax them 5%. Sellers would pay taxes by the last day of each month following the end of each calendar quarter. The city modeled its ordinance after one imposed in Happy Valley. The cities of Hillsboro and Scappoose are considering similar taxes on recreational pot sales. Whether the ordinance will survive legal challenges in the event Measure 91 passes will likely be decided in court. Section 42 of Measure 91 declares that, quote, state has exclusive right to tax marijuana. No county or city of the state can impose any fee or tax, including occupation taxes, privilege taxes, and inspection fees, in connection with the purchase, sale, production, processing, transportation, and delivery of marijuana items, end quote. Forest Grove officials argue in the report that this language does not preempt city taxation, since it does not state whether a state tax repeals local taxes in place at the time of the measure's passing. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker to fight feds over welfare drug tests, from Huffington Post. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker has come out in favor of making poor people prove they're not on drugs if they want food stamps or unemployment insurance, even if it means a showdown with the federal government. Walker's drug test pitch comes as the Wisconsin Republican is in a close campaign for re-election against Democrat Mary Burke. National polls consistently show that requiring welfare recipients to prove they're not on drugs is an overwhelmingly popular idea. Popular as it is, federal law does not allow states to require drug tests for food stamps or unemployment insurance. Walker told the Journal Sentinel that he would welcome a fight with the feds. Quote, "We believe that there will be potentially a fight with the federal government and in court." Burke's spokesman derided Walker's idea as a campaign stunt. New study says marijuana smokers may use the drug to cope with negative emotions. And next on the news, a study on where bears defecate. I'm sorry we're out of time. That's your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, September 16th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the normal.
Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers thinks it's okay for medical marijuana patients like Larry Harvey to go to prison and lose their constitutional rights, even though Washington has had a medical marijuana law protecting patients like Larry since 1998. On May 30th, Congresswoman McMorris Rogers voted against an amendment that would protect Washington patients.
I voted to send Kathy McMorris Rogers to Congress, and she voted to send me to prison.
Is the Congresswoman out of touch with Washington?
Yeah, great music here from Wayne Kramer. That's the classic tune, If You're a Viper. That dates back to the back before the day. This goes all the way back to like the 30s, man. But that's a modern version. Wayne Kramer from the Normal Hempelation albums. We've got our first guest joining us here at the desk. Dave Sieber is here. He's the president of Hemp Shield. And Hemp Shield, penetrating oil, wood finish, and deck sealer. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
So tell us about Hemp Shield.
Hemp Shield is the world's first hemp oil containing building material. It happens to be the best wood finish and deck sealer ever created. We actually did this right here in Oregon. I'm being backed by the biggest paint manufacturer in the Pacific Northwest named Forest Technical Coatings in Eugene, Oregon. And this is a revolutionary product in all terms, and the truth of it is, I'm here because there's an imbalance in how the cannabis industry is being presented to the public, in that there's way too much emphasis that I'm not that I'm against it, but there's way too much emphasis on the medical and the recreational when the true 800-pound gorilla in terms of the environment and the economy that's sitting in the back of the room is industrial hemp.
You know, I agree with you in a lot of respects with that, Dave. It's just been the ban, and Representative Blumenauer pointed this out in his keynote, that the ban on hemp is the biggest mistake. I mean, you might be able to see some argument for, you know, the psychoactive variety, but hemp, of course, is not psychoactive at all and provides so many industrial benefits. And this is one I hadn't heard of yet.
We actually designed this product to be the first industrial hemp product to cross over to the general public, because that's what we need. So the general public is not just thinking about marijuana and cannabis in terms of people who are sick or want enjoyment or whatever. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But the truth of it is, there's much, much more to this. And the industrial part is by far going to be the biggest part of the whole deal.
You know, Popular Mechanics in 1938 called it the trillion-dollar crop, and that was when that was worth some money.
Yeah, so what's $1 trillion in 1938 worth in 2014?
No kidding. Hemp Shield, Dave Sieber is with us, and you can find out more at hempshield.net. I see you've got five different varieties here: chestnut, redwood, hickory, cedar, cobblestone, gray.
And clear.
And some of the benefits of this. Now, I know just generally when you want to seal your deck, you're trying to protect it from water and damage and rot and all that kind of stuff. How is this product superior to what I just might buy at Home Depot right now?
Hemp Shield is superior by magnitudes, not just 5 or 10%, but hundreds of percent in terms of duration and activity on the deck. It's a single coat, 450 to 650 square feet per gallon. It has there's a legal dispute, so I can only say it has very low VOCs. It's actually below the range that's technically called VOC. It has no HAPs. It has no hazardous air pollutants. It has no fumes. So it can be used inside and outside.
VOCs would be volatile organic compounds.
Okay. So Hemp Shield doesn't have any of that stuff in it.
So this is like, you know, when we use the regular deck sealants and stuff, aren't we talking about like petroleum products in that?
Yes, we are. And not only that, you're lucky if they last a year. Hemp Shield has now been on the market for 4 years, and nobody's talking about resealing their decks yet.
Wow.
It is a revolutionary product in its own terms as a sealer. And the reason why it's better than anything else is because of the hemp seed oil. It turns out that the molecules of the hemp seed oil are smaller than all the other oils that are used in coatings. So it penetrates the wood better, and it takes along all the other major components, because this is a totally modern product. And every aspect of it is revolutionary. From the things that we use as biocides, they are time released, so that means that if you're living here in Oregon and you try and walk out on your deck during the winter when it's raining, instead of slipping and breaking your neck, you can walk on your deck. Every component of Hemp Shield is revolutionary. It's the greenest, the best, the highest quality in the highest concentration possible.
It's awesome, man. And as far as you know, the treatment of your deck here, it says, I see on the brochure, formaldehyde-free, mildewcide, algicide, fungicide.
Right.
And that's just the product of hemp is doing that?
These are special state-of-the-art, non-formaldehyde-based products. As I said, we had Hemp Shield tested for toxicity. It is 0.00126 parts per unit volume. What does that mean? Hemp Shield is less toxic than your body or my body or any plant or animal that's out there in the environment.
I'm pretty sure it's less toxic than my body.
I'm not saying drink it, okay? But I'm telling you, it's the greenest, most revolutionary sealer that's ever been made.
This is Dave Sieber. He's with Hemp Shield. You can find more at hempshield.net. His email is dave@hempshield.net. And this is a Eugene, Oregon company. So
that's right. This is Oregon. We have made hemp history right here in Oregon.
Right on.
And if you want to buy it online at hempshield.net and you buy 2 or more gallons, shipping is free.
Very good. All right, Dave, thanks for joining us here. Hempshield.net, everyone, if you want the best in deck staining, deck stain, I guess is what it's called, deck sealant. We're going to go back to some music here on our 420 radio coverage of the International Cannabis Business Conference. We'll have more vendor interviews shortly. Great talking to Dave Sieber there from Hemp Shield, and interesting product. You know, that's one of the things I really enjoy about this.
Maybe we should start at 420, right? Marijuana reference.
Yeah, thanks, Homer, because it is 420 in Denver, Colorado, America's cannabis capital, but not for long. When we pass Measure 91, Portland, Oregon will be the place to be. You can bank on that. We're back with Wiz Khalifa, back in the studio live right after this.
Four20 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. The Hot Box Podcast with Matt Lee and Ian Baker from Kalispell, Montana. Replaying Thursdays at 11 Pacific on 4.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour, and Mark Twain also once said, suppose I were an idiot and suppose I were in Congress, but then I repeat myself. And maybe that's a lesson to be learned for our story today. We've got Khalifa Castile joining us. How you doing, Khalifa?
Quite well, my friend. So good to be back.
Good to have you here. Khalifa was the first intern I ever had when I was working for Normal, and now he's back. He's been going through the trials of trying to be a marijuana entrepreneur and some of the roadblocks that get thrown in the way, regulatory-wise and backstabbing-wise and all the things that can happen. But we're going to concentrate on the positive because Khalifa's always been about the positive. So moving forward, man, what's new?
You know, this is definitely a transition period. I was running a marijuana dispensary for a while called Brightside here in Southeast Portland. And we still technically are going to hopefully be operating. We've just been waiting to get our license from the Oregon Health Authority, and that's been quite a very interesting process. But barring that happening, I've definitely got other things that I'm looking at doing. I've been wanting to get back into podcasting. You know, obviously I started as an intern almost a little over 3 years ago now with Normal Show Live. My how time passes. So, you know, that's been something I've been itching to do because I haven't done it since 2012, almost 2 years, when I left to start a political action committee when OCTA made the ballot in 2012 and went on to start Oregonians for Law Reform, and we raised some money for the Measure 80 campaign. And I was just thinking now that we're back into this, just how much I miss it. And I've been thinking about starting a podcast, and I want to call it ColecoVision. A lot of people these days ask me, oh, is that like ColecoVision when they hear my name?
Right.
And it's not. For those of you who don't know, ColecoVision is a C-O-L-E-C-O, some video game like Atari era. and I'd never played it, never heard of it, but I've been hearing it all the time. So
the only similarity between the two is the L and the O.
That's right.
That's it. They're completely different otherwise.
So I decided to buy ColecoVision.com, spelled like my name, and I wanted to start it as a blog and a podcasting site, and I basically wanted to get back into the things that I love, you know, politics, cannabis, entertainment, news, culture, just, you know, basically the everyday things of life. I just really want to get back out there and start to, you know, use my contacts. And I, you know, obviously this is about the segments typically devoted for cannabis business and that sort of industry and where it's evolving. And, you know, where I find myself right now is at the ground floor of a really wild industry, and it's a really great time to be around. And though I may not be tied down to anything right now, it's actually a super exciting place to be, because I'm looking around at all my friends who are doing all kinds of great stuff, and there's so many possibilities and so many things happening out there that you know, I definitely think that it's time that I want to start to build something else. And I'm starting to think that I want to build my own brand, as well as I've been, you know, hopefully thinking about coming back here and lending a little help when I can to 420 Radio now that I have a little more time on my hands. So
right on.
You know, definitely just got a lot of things that I'm looking forward to getting back into now that I've taken my time off.
Right on. Well, you know, speaking of picking shovels, you know, you were talking about how of all of the aspects of the marijuana industry, that perhaps the retail side is the least attractive at this point.
I would say for those people who want to have a return on their investment quickly, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, you have to figure that already as a regular business dealing with taxation, you're already going to be kind of batting down when you're a new business needing to pay payroll and take care of all of the other costs of doing business. And then when you're having to figure that every dollar that comes in is automatically less because of taxes going out, it's a lot different with the marijuana business, because you're subject to this arcane rule called 280E in the IRS tax code, which basically was made for cocaine dealers who are riding off their yachts, which basically says if you're dealing with an illegally or a controlled substance, that you cannot write off the cost of doing business. So the normal things that a business could write off, like payroll, the cost of rent, electricity, all of the things that make a store run, we can't write those off simply because we're in the marijuana industry. So there's just a lot of things like that. Dealing with a bank account, we had a bank account closed down, had to open up through another bank. You know, there's things like that going on. There's just a lot of small details that when you're the pioneers in this industry trying to make your way through the hurdles and over, you know, over the hurdles and through the hoops, that, you know, since no one else has done it, someone's going to get tripped up. And those first people who are going to do it are going to be the ones. And,
it's like the beginning of a steeplechase, man, when they first hit that first little berm with the mud, man, the first few people go down.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, it's just definitely, it's been interesting seeing everything from that aspect. And, you know, working as, you know, an activist for several years, and, you know, being really committed to this movement and wanting to see it move forward and become a mainstream industry just like any other, I'm super excited to see things moving forward. It's rough, you know, having to be on the ground and dealing with that stuff, but it's totally worth it if you figure the alternative is the possibility of going to jail.
Yeah, it sure beats that. Calico Castile, at Wiz Calico on Twitter, and soon to be the ColecoVision.com show, which I have a really good feeling I'll probably end up on 420 Radio.
We're definitely going to try to make that happen, no doubt.
All right, stay tuned, folks. We got Reformer's Reader coming up next. The Hypocrite's author, Mara K. Eaton, is joining us right after this.
420 Radio, the activist radio station. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at...
What the authorities should do is decriminalize pot use. You want to do it in your house, not bother anyone? Fine. Go outside with a joint or a pipe, you pay a fine.
A majority of voters support changing failed marijuana laws. Legalization and decriminalization are mainstream solutions. We are the Marijuana Majority. MarijuanaMajority.com.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about seven people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net.
The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformers Reader.
Welcome back, everyone. Half past the hour, and we're joined on the telephone by Mara K. Eaton. She's the author of the book, The Hypocrites. And Mara, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Russ.
So glad to have you here. We've been running an ad, and I hope you got to hear it in the hold music there, but we've been running an ad for your book for a while now, and it asks a very provocative question. Are you a hypocrite if you're living a closeted cannabis lifestyle? You are. And I was wondering if you would like to go into a little detail on that, because I know many people feel they have no choice but to lead a closeted cannabis lifestyle.
And I totally agree. Sorry to cut you off there, but when you choose to do something that you can't be honest with others about, and it's almost like you're living a double life, you're not being true to yourself. And being a hypocrite in the sense that I'm trying to express is, you know, you can't be true to yourself out in the open without persecution or, in some cases, incarceration. And it's a frustrating lifestyle to live.
Yes, and we've heard, you know, tales of this going back to the LGBT movement as well, when they talk about living in the closet and being untrue to oneself. There's the author and pundit Andrew Sullivan, a married gay man, actually made those allusions at the conference I was at this weekend. So your book, The Hypocrites, and again, it's at areyouahypocrite.net, details seven vignettes, seven stories of people living these closeted cannabis lifestyle. Give folks a taste of what those stories involve.
What they involve, it starts out with, you know, a particular young lady named Sean who, you know, she smokes. She goes to meetings that are where people are encouraged not to, but that's where she gets her cannabis. And she's connected with all of these people without really knowing it. And as you go through the book, every character in some way, shape, or form has had some interaction with each other. And when you read them all together, it tells one complete story. And whether you're a consumer, a provider, or somebody who sells it, your world is a bit bigger than what you realize in being connected with all of these kinds of people. And I just wanted to kind of bring all that together to show how everybody's actions or lack of reaction could potentially cause something damaging.
You know, how all these lives are interwoven, that's kind of a theme that I picked up on, I really appreciated, and you've seen it in movies like Crash and others where you see this thread that runs through and connects people, and in that respect, I found the book to be very enlightening and really shined a spotlight on kind of the, I don't want to say normalcy, but how normal the people involved in these stories were, that they are your neighbors and your friends and the people that you work with. How has the reaction been to your book among people, both those who are, like myself, involved in the marijuana movement, and maybe others who picked it up as something to read and found themselves learning something new?
It's been fairly positive. My mom liked it. She read it in 2 days, and she certainly did not imbibe. But it also opened her eyes a little bit about the medicinal side. Just being able to turn her opinion in the last 5 years has been imperative for me, just to have her understand that, hey, it's not what you're seeing in movies or on TV or the stereotype that's perpetuated a lot in the media. This is something that can really help people. And just getting her to switch her thinking was, again, imperative to me. It's, again, been overwhelmingly positive. I've had some pretty good reviews. People seem to like it, and I hope it's easier for, again, normal people to relate to, because I've had a hard time just trying to find fiction that does seem easily relatable, and it's either, again, perpetuating a stereotype or extremely violent, which doesn't really speak to me or a lot of other people who live a closeted lifestyle.
Yeah, good point. You know, I come from Idaho, where you had to be extremely closeted about your cannabis use, and never really did experience anything in the way of violence or a lot of the stereotypes that get perpetuated. Mm-hmm. So I was really glad to get that portrayal, and also glad to hear that you turned your mother's opinion. I always think that's very important, because as we know, older folks vote. And so if we can get mm-hmm. them on our side, it speaks to a condition that I've noticed. I call it the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde theory of drug use, that, oh my gosh, if you're using marijuana, you've lost your senses, you've gone mad, you're going to turn into this raving crazy person. And your book does a good job of showing that that's just not the case. The book is The Hypocrites. It's by Mara K. Eaton. She's joining us by telephone, and you can find out more at areyouahypocrite.net. Now, Mara, as you sat down to write this book, I imagine there must be, you know, they always say write what you know. So what's your background that got you to this point in writing this book?
Just having a lack of relatable fiction, and there's really no women writing canon fiction, and there's a void there. And I think, you know, having a woman's voice needed to be out there. I was watching television one night, and I saw a Roll and Grow commercial, and all I could think of was, who in the world would buy this? And it just kind of started going from there. And I would remember people I've come across in my life and the experiences that I've had, and try to do my best to work them in 7 tangible voices. And it originally started out as a short story. And when I finished it, I kind of wanted to see what would happen with other people in the initial meeting. And it just grew and grew from there. Again, just drawing on experiences that I've had, other friends have had, and also losing, you know, people to illnesses where you know that this plant could help them. And that really is what pushed me to write this, is like, you know, yes, people enjoy it for recreational sense, but the medicinal value is just immeasurable. And the fact that we're kind of dragging our heels in getting it legalized, or legalizing it in extremely, just, what's the word I'm looking for, just restrictive ways. Like, for example, in Minnesota, yes, you can have CBD if you have seizures. Well, that's great, but what about my friends who have Evans disease or lupus or cancer? You know, that's what really pushed me to write it. It's just really pushed, yes, you know, they sell recreationally to fund medicinal, because the medicinal value is so important.
Interesting perspective. Mara K. Eaton is our guest. We're discussing the book, The Hypocrites. And I'm glad you brought up Minnesota. You know, that's the latest example of how medical marijuana has continued to progress. But as it progresses, it seems the baby steps get shorter and shorter, to the point where now Minnesota, you can't actually get the plant. You have to rely on preparations of the plant. And so I'm wondering, as you note, you know, the recreational kind of funds the medical, do you feel that the recreational also could save the medical, maybe make it possible for anybody to get access to this wonderful plant without having to jump through hoops?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's, in my opinion, with legalization, you can't have one without the other. And it just seems rather hypocritical to have one without the other. So if we could push recreational to help fund medical, why not? There's so many people that need help, whether it's just with smaller issues like insomnia or anxiety, but I mean, even the bigger diseases like Alzheimer's and cancer.
Yeah. You mentioned also that there seemed to be a dearth of women's voices in the, what you call the canna literature, I suppose. And I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I work on the statistics and the policy side. And every time we take a poll, no matter what state we go to, we find that women's support of marijuana legalization trails men's, usually by double digits. Do you feel that it's because women aren't talking about this, or maybe because they have more to lose?
I think more to lose. I mean, you look at a woman, especially if she's a mother, you know, if she's open about this and she has children, how are people going to look at her? Is she going to run the risk of losing her children if she imbibes for a legitimate medical reason? Excuse me. It's just there is a lacking female voice in the movement that I wish was more prevalent. But I think because they could potentially lose more.
Yeah. Mara, as far as your career and authoring and writing goes, what's next for you? Are you going to continue to be writing in this sphere, or branching out to other subjects?
I'm definitely, I've outlined a follow-up to The Hypocrites. I really like the characters, and I think there's more there that could unfold for them. But I'm also working on another fiction project where, you know, cannabis isn't as prevalent, but it's certainly there in the background of the lives of these people who are going through some situations.
All right. Mara K. Eaton is the author. The book is The Hypocrites. It's a novel with several short stories, seven short stories going on that all provide a common thread showing people that showing us all that we're all, part of a normal, everyday and regular group of folks that just deserve to be treated like equals, deserve to be given the freedom to use this wonderful and beneficial plant. And you mentioned the medical aspects of the plant, and that's something I find that really brings people around. Either they get sick or someone they know gets sick. They discover that cannabis has such a wonderful medical benefit, and then it makes them mad to find out they've been lied to about this. Have you found that in your experience?
Very much so. It's infuriating to have that knowledge, and you know it could help somebody, but you're kind of powerless to do anything about it due to the legal ramifications. And that's what I've noticed, too, when politicians will support a bill or try to push a measure through, they're personally impacted by somebody who's become very ill. It shouldn't have to come to that. We should be able to do more studies and release that information so people can make an educated decision and not believe what they've been told.
Mara, have you been able to travel or to present the book, maybe do book signings or go to different events around the country, or how has that been for you?
At this time, I haven't. I'm looking forward to doing so in the future. This was a self-published project, so pretty much everything into it is my money. So right now, I'm just advertising and hoping to do readings and signings at a later date.
All right. Well, you can get the softcover edition. There's also ebook versions that are available. You can order directly from the author, and I'm going to paste that link into our live chat room right now so that we're not given the extra money to Amazon or whoever else might want to get a piece of the pie. So we want to support especially female authors in cannabis literature to getting those voices heard. Mara, before we let you go, do you have a website or other Facebooks or anything, emails, if people want to get in touch with you?
If you want to get in touch, you can reach me through the website at mara@areyouahypocrite.net. Facebook, I usually check it every day. Again, the website's a pretty good spot. I also post some blogs on occasion.
All right. Mara K. Eaton, the book is The Hypocrites, and we thank you for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show, and good luck with everything.
Thank you, Russ. You have a good one.
All right. When we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. Three new anti-Measure 91 lies from Josh Marquis, culled from three different Oregon newspapers reporting on his debate with Representative Earl Blumenauer last Friday at Salem City Club. And remember, coming up tomorrow and the rest of the week, we got Herb Thrasher's footage from the Boston Freedom Rally. Stay tuned. We're back after an anti-drug PSA of the day. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts. At Royal Queen Seeds, we've got premium feminized cannabis seeds, including auto-flowering varieties for the medical cannabis user. We've got bulk shipments available and new CBD oil. Plus, we accept payment in Visa, MasterCard, and Bitcoin, as well as other methods. Check out our website at royalqueenseeds.com for more information. We are located in the Netherlands, and we have online grow experts ready to help you now at royalqueenseeds.com. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Hey, Lindsay. I wish you didn't smoke weed. You're not the same when you smoke. And I miss my friend. I'll be outside.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to The Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420 Radio.
If you look at the projected tax revenues in Washington State and in Colorado and also nationally, Colorado, $67 million, Washington, $560 million, a hypothetical look more nationally, $5.8 billion. What do you make of that? Dan.
Well, you know, I think the taxation revenue is the icing on the cake. I mean, for most Americans, the reason that they want to tax and regulate marijuana, again, is to no longer arrest and prosecute adults for using something that's safer than alcohol. My background is as a prosecuting attorney, and I just felt like it was a waste of my time and my taxpayer dollars arresting people for something that's really just not a threat to public safety. So if we can, you know, take revenue away from drug cartels and reallocate law enforcement resources and do all of those things, that makes sense. And if we can maybe collect some tax revenue on top of that, then that's icing on.
You can't handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law. End federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality, no. Immorality in general.
How in the century do you have learned the meaning of the words we, the people?
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, folks. When we last checked in on Clatsop County District Attorney Josh Marquis, the Sandman, last time we checked in on Marquis, he was offering you up this nice little packaged half-truth about the Measure 91 marijuana legalization. Specifically, he was saying the Section 55 allowed anyone to smuggle weed into prison and only get a ticket. And he knows damn well that Measure 91 does not repeal the current Class C felony for smuggling weed into prison. What Section 55 does is adds a ticket to someone who might have unknowingly brought their weed into the prison. But anyway, you know, that's the first one that we gave you. Well, today we've got three more, all of these coming from the most recent Salem City Club debate, where Clatsop County District Attorney Josh Marquis, who is, by the way, the leading spokesperson against Measure 91's marijuana legalization initiative, tried to minimize the need for the measure by citing suppositions about medical marijuana that just ain't true. The Oregonian reported his assertion that, quote, almost any adult can get a medical marijuana permit and legally possess up to a pound and a half of the drug, end quote. Marquis sarcastically added, now this wasn't in the Oregonian, I'm paraphrasing from memory, but something to the effect of, God forbid they get down to just a pound of marijuana, which could probably keep someone zorked out all year. Clearly, Marquis does not understand that the sickest patients need greater amounts since they are compounding that raw cannabis into edible or vaporizable forms. But, you know, go ahead. Make fun of the sick and disabled. Oregon, as do all other medical marijuana states, suffers from California quasi-legalization perception. Now, the medical marijuana law in California includes the right for doctors to recommend medical marijuana for, quote, any other illness for which marijuana provides relief, end quote. There is also no statewide medical marijuana card or registry system in California. So this has led to the infamous Venice Beach bikini sign twirlers advertising medical marijuana recommendations for $40, which can be obtained by fabricating any ailment, leading to an immediate admittance to hundreds of pot shops. Indeed, in medical marijuana in California, it really is a hodgepodge of quasi-marijuana legality with a doctor's permission slip. But that's not the case in Oregon. Or for that matter, any of the other 22 medical marijuana states. Washington's the only other medical marijuana state with no card and registry system, further compounding this perception that all West Coast medical marijuana states are similarly lax in their standards. In Oregon, any other condition will not qualify for a medical marijuana recommendation, period. Not only must a patient exhibit cancer, HIV/AIDS, glaucoma, cachexia, spasms, seizures, chronic pain, nausea, or PTSD to qualify, but there must also be notes detailing that condition in medical records from three separate doctor visits within the past 3 years before a medical marijuana clinic will even look at filling out a recommendation. And visit to these doctors, that can be up to $1,000 in expense before the patient can then fill out more paperwork and pay more fees to the state for a medical marijuana registry card. Then, and only then, can that patient gain admittance to a state-licensed medical marijuana dispensary, yet another significant difference from California and Washington, which do not license, inspect, or regulate dispensaries. Many people who would easily qualify for a medical marijuana card do not get one because of the time, hassle, expense, and lack of privacy involved with registering with the state. But under Measure 91, those people won't have to jump through all those hoops and sacrifice their privacy in order to acquire marijuana for their treatment. So long as they're 21 years of age, they'll be able to shop for marijuana in a secure, adults-only store with healthy adults. It's disheartening to hear the Clatsop County District Attorney exhibit such a lack of concern for the sickest and most vulnerable Oregonians. But he continues. In the Salem Statesman Journal, they report, Marquis tried to poke holes in those estimates by explaining how Colorado has lowered its revenue expectations in part because fewer people than anticipated are buying marijuana from a store. Quote, "It's called Reed for a reason," Marquis said. "It's not like brewing your own whiskey. It's not that hard to make," end quote. He suspects that even his wife, who supports marijuana legalization, could, quote, "grow some awesome weed," end quote, in their greenhouse. Okay, look, I suppose if I took some Welch's grape juice and sat it in a warm, dark cabinet for a week or two, I'd have a fermented alcoholic beverage. But I doubt anyone's going to mistake it for a Chardonnay or a Merlot. Sure, pop some seeds in the ground, let the sun and the rain tend to it, come back in a few weeks, and I suppose you'll have a few ditchweed plants. But nobody's going to mistake it for the quality marijuana that someone can get at a dispensary. Of course, Marquis was immediately called out by Representative Blumenauer for this idiocy. Representative Blumenauer said, quote, "You can grow your own tomatoes. Why would anyone buy an heirloom tomato in a store?" End quote. Indeed, we have the right to grow our carrots, lettuce, celery, potatoes, apples, hell, almost any other fruit and vegetable in our land. And it's far easier to grow those crops than it is to grow quality cannabis. But most of us don't, because there's similar or better offerings of many more varieties available at the grocery store. The fact is that growing quality marijuana is very difficult. I am a marijuana policy professional with direct access to the latest information, the best equipment, and the most knowledgeable horticulturalists on the West Coast. And not one of my growing attempts has yielded anything I'd ever pay money for. I've lost crops to powdery mildew, spider mites, lack of water, electrical failure, thieves, things that have never affected any of my homegrown tomatoes. Colorado's brought in $37.5 million in taxes and fees on marijuana so far, and while that is lower than the original estimates, it's infinitely greater than the $0 brought in prior to 2014. The real reason those estimates aren't lower are lower isn't because residents can home grow six plants, it's because recreational marijuana is overpriced due to overtaxation. And that's not going to happen to Oregon's market, thanks to Measure 91's flat $35 an ounce taxation. Coloradoans with a medical marijuana card, or a buddy who has one, well, they're going to prefer to shop at the dispensaries where the taxes are 2.9%. Why would they want to go to the pot shop where the taxes are 15% plus 10% plus 2.9%? Although, I gotta say, I do look forward to finding out just how awesome a crop of marijuana Josh Marquis's wife can grow in a greenhouse. And one more lie. As he continues campaigning against marijuana legalization under Measure 91, he keeps repeating these talking points that you could charitably call true if you didn't read between the lines. This example is the notion that, well, we really don't need to legalize marijuana because hardly anybody goes to prison for it. The Bend Bulletin reported on Josh Marquis's remarks at the recent Measure 91 debate, saying, quote, "But he said the argument that Oregon's prisons are clogged with marijuana users and the notion that the state pays more for prisons than education is, quote, simply not true," end quote. Records from the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission last month showed just 5 people are in prison in Oregon for possession of marijuana. In total, 130 people are in prison for marijuana-related crimes, with an average sentence of about 2 years, the record showed. End of the report. And that's true as far as that goes. Yes, there's 5 people in prison for marijuana possession and 130 in for growing, trafficking, and selling marijuana. Kind of sucks for them, doesn't it? I mean, even if one person is locked up over this plant, it's a shame. It's a tragedy. But what Marquis and others like him are purposefully omitting is that marijuana can land you in jail or prison without it ever being acknowledged in the criminal justice statistics. And that's something that a county district attorney is certainly aware of. For instance, simple possession of marijuana becomes the crime of distribution if you're sharing it with your friends. Simple possession of too much marijuana automatically qualifies for possession for sale charges. Possess that marijuana in separate baggies or own a kitchen or postage scale, and you'll get intent to deliver charges tacked on. So those 5 people in prison for possession are the few who manage to avoid being lumped in with the other 130, many of whom may also have been just simply possessing. Then, there are the charges for possession that earn you a trip to prison for another non-marijuana-related crime entirely. If you're on probation or parole and get caught with marijuana or a dirty urine screen, you're returned to prison on your original charges, not the fact that you got caught with weed. If you possessed marijuana in your car, that can lead to a driving under the influence conviction. If you're a parent, you can be charged with child endangerment, abuse, or neglect just because there's marijuana in your house, or God forbid, a plant. If you used a cell phone or a text message or an email to get your marijuana, that's illegal use of a communications device. If you bought or sold or acquired marijuana through the postage, through the mail, through a shipping service, that's illegal use of a shipping service. If you lawfully own a firearm for sports or for protection, you can be charged with using a firearm in the commission of a crime. Now, when confronted with these facts, prohibitionists will often defend by saying, well, the person serving time for marijuana possession often pleaded down from other, more serious crimes. Well, yeah, sometimes those more serious crimes are the manufacture and sales of marijuana. But other times, yeah, they may have committed a serious crime, which leads one to wonder why a district attorney didn't prosecute them for that. Do they really wish to keep marijuana a crime simply to be able to punish people they couldn't convict of more serious crimes? I would say the evidence kind of points toward that. A lot of the cops I talk to from LEAP tell me all about that yeah, if they've got a hunch that patting that guy down and finding some marijuana or smelling marijuana in the car is the key that unlocks the Fourth Amendment, allows them to get past all these pesky requirements of probable cause and needing of warrants and things like that, where they can bring in a well-trained dog that will react to their subtle cues to alert to give them all the access they need. That's why these DAs, people like Josh Marquis, want to keep marijuana illegal. It just has to do with making their job easier. It has to do with filling up beds at the rehab hospitals. It has to do with getting drug asset forfeitures and getting grants. It's a big, big machine. And I'm telling you, marijuana users are the grist for the mill. We take marijuana users out of the machine, and this machine starts tumbling down. Like Grover Norquist once said, I don't want to see the entire police department dismantled. I just want it shrunk to the size I can drown it in a bathtub. And that's all the time we got for Hour 1, but stay tuned. In Hour 2, we got more highlights from the International Cannabis Business Conference. Plus, we're going to play Earl Blumenauer, Representative Earl Blumenauer's speech at the ICBC. For Wiz Clico, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.